had he been promised anything when his support was, when they made a bargain in 48, CDS didn't have a straight majority?
Mm. I don't know whether there was any such thing. But it is to the good of the country that Mr. Bandaranaike formed another party and fought an election for this reason. The people had two right-wing parties to select from. If Mr. Bandaranaike remained here, choice would have been left or right.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are two right-wing parties. If they selected one, they could select the other.
The story I heard about Banda wanting to leave, of course, Sir John says that he couldn't wait for the old man to pass off. But also I've been told that he had been sort of virtually promised the succession and he was after a leader of the house. But that in the cabinet he was being edged out and his plans of local government and things like that, committees, he was building up his own influence. Oliver and Sir John, by proposing some other village development thing, were trying to block.
Well, that must have been one of the immediate causes. But the more cause must have been that he didn't see that he will be the successor. He must have various indications, not one.
How would you assess Bandaranaike as an administrator? In fact, even A.E. Gunasinghe and others talking about his period of Minister of Local Government, which would show up his capabilities, seem to think him very poor.
Not a good administrator. You see, generally, the orators are not good administrators. He was a good orator.
Mm-hmm.
I found that. Now, D.S. wasn't an orator. Good administrator. Rarely, I think if you want to have parliament on entirely new lines. In each ministry, there should be two ministers. One to speak, one to act.
But isn't the permanent secretary supposed to be the sort of actor?
He doesn't perform that function, although he is expected to do it. But because now in our country, ministers are expected to go to most public functions. And there must be one man who is entirely devoted to that, because otherwise they lose popular favor. And the other man must attend to the duties of the office. You can bring that about, that may be a novel method, but still it will achieve the purpose of the government being run.
What do you think contributed to the UNP defeat in 56?
56 defeat was due to the Bhikkhus. You know, the Bhikkhus had a meeting in Colombo. Some event about the ceremony or something. They had ten commandments, or what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Mr. Bandaranaike whether he accepted it. He went and accepted it outright. But these UNP didn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bhikkhu then asked Sir John to put off the general election till after the Bodh Jayanti celebrations. He did not agree. Those two put them on Mr. Bandaranaike's side. And they all went out of the country. Not in public meetings like this last time, but working from house to house, from village to village, and saying all sorts of things. Sir John becomes Prime Minister, the Pope, we come to power, they put a cross on the Three Fathers, and all things like that, depending on the type of person they were addressing. If the village old Upatakammas, or do you want to hand this country to the Pope? Do you want to see a cross on the Three Fathers like that? You see, they went on all over the country, and some bhikkhus carried the image of the Buddha. Promise you will vote for Mr. Bandaranaike and ask them, then they show the image. Worship it now, you promise it. That sort of thing.
Don't you think also that Sir John's image was a very bad one?
Yes, they published that, that at that time the Zulu Muhammad had come and various things. They made a huge placard on all these trees in Tamrock Road, all the things they published. Various cartoons of Sir John, but the Daily News also, who that cartoonist?
Collett.
He did it, not to defeat Sir John. All his cartoons.
But I thought the Daily News were programmed.
They were for, but Itachi's articles and the callers, they were great friends of Sir John. But they were friends who, ruined him.
In fact, then with that election, there was a reaction against the papers. After that, they wanted to take
over. They wanted to take over. When the takeover idea came after Bandaranaike's death, 16th.
But didn't he have it throughout?
No, not Mr. Bandaranaike. at least she could have. Very much.
In fact, hasn't she gone much further in, than he would have gone?
Yes. To the left she has gone. He would have gone to the left. He might have taken some of the leftists, under his wing, but not joined them.
One aspect of the 50s that people have been at least suggesting is that the Public Service Commission hasn't been as independent as it was meant to be. Is that correct?
Yes.
You see, there are two aspects of that also. Mm-hmm. You provided entirely independent Public Service Commission. If, regardless of the needs of the government, the ministry, the cabinet, and so on, prime minister, they make appointments, then it's very difficult to.
Interfere in appointments. Did that affect you at all, the judicial service at all? No.
No.
What about, I know they did interfere with the public service.
There were cases now, for instance, appointments in the litigation department and so on. And the interested persons went to the various members of the committee and canvassed the committee. And occasionally, I suppose, the matter came up. But they had no voice in the smaller appointments, which was major appointments.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that was a bad trend?
Interference in appointments?
Yes. Certainly. Committee?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Interference in appointments is a bad trend because, you see, the member is in a very vulnerable position. If a very strong supporter comes and says, please do this for me, he dare not say no.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to say yes, but he can't stop at that. He must do something. Well, he's going to be wrong that he said yes and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this interference with appointment is very difficult to stop. Whatever kind of machinery we work, some indirect influence will be brought to bear on it. Now it's an offense to influence the Public Service Commission or the Judicial Service Commission. So it happens indirectly in various ways.
Mm-hmm. No, but if this thing gets serious when the Prime Minister is the one who does most
yes.
of the...
And also when the appointment that is made is patently an appointment made through influence rather than on merit.
Mm-hmm. And especially in Mrs. Bandaranaike's time, and perhaps even in Bandaranaike's time, weren't they becoming openly communal in some of their appointments?
Well, there was this language problem. They might have... taken that into account.
Because the story goes that certainly Vimala Vijayawardena asked the permanent secretary to exclude Tamils, you see, from certain appointments mm-hmm. because they had the majority before and things like that. You mm-hmm.
see. You must have. This racial problem is also a difficult matter, you see. The majority race feels that the minority race is ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may be circumstances that have placed the minorities in a position where they are competent and qualified to get all the important appointments. So in some countries, they have a quota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, in Canada, which is a religious problem, Protestants and the Catholics are the two major bodies.
Yes.
If you appoint a Supreme Court judge Protestant this year, next year it has to be a Catholic.
I see.
It's almost a rule, came down from tradition. In fact, I asked it. Different bar, the Prime Minister, when he came, he said, that's true, because I read in the beginning bar review. So this is true. I appointed Protestant last year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I have become a Catholic.
Don't you think that 1958 occurred in part because of previous history of political interference, which scared the police and the civil service and made them rather reluctant to act? And also because, despite warnings, Bandaranaike didn't declare emergency earlier, or at least take...
I think it's bad information.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been growing a very strong racial feeling, of which the government didn't seem to be aware before it burst.
Mm-hmm.
So, once it came into the open, all the savagery of riots came into it, they burned mm-hmm. people in this. Unoffending people were just taking a burn. I couldn't have, in fact, some of the cases came before me. I couldn't understand how ordinary farmers could be so savage.
Oh, you had some cases coming before you?
Yes.
From what areas?
For an Arab way, all that area.
Mm-hmm. Is there a case of a Sinhalese sub?
Was burned.
Mm-hmm.
Tamils were burned. I mean, how could you imagine a man burning Mount Lavinia, a Tamil?
Mm-hmm.
They both gave petrol on him and burned. How could people
I wouldn't be so surprised in Colombo, you see, but because you could always get thugs, but...
Upon our crowd, they burnt a Tamil man, burnt a Tamil man.
In fact, how correct is Tasi Vitachi's account?
Some of them, straight from what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in most areas, they broke down houses. Some were maybe hooligans who want to get some loot.
Yes.
Generally, in every country, you find that once a tumult breaks up, the looters come in and take property away.
Do you happen to know how C.P. De Silva took to politics? Because he was in the civil service.
He was in civil service. He retired.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was dissatisfied with some orders. His decision against him had been about him.
Had complained?
Had made about him. He was Minister of Agriculture. He was in his ministry.
Yes.
Some orders he had made, he was not satisfied with. Mm-hmm. Then he had that option of John Amore to retire. He retired.
In fact, the story goes that he had given some false report and that Senaika removed him, and that may have...
He couldn't have removed him, no? Being a civil servant, he might have made an order.
No, I mean...
He might have made an order which would have resulted in charge of it. And before anything could happen, he retired under the arm. And then I think he had nursed the consequences.
Purnadu.
Nursed? His actions are all in the ultimate hope that one day at the parliament through that consequence. So that he was good to the people and kind to them and all the time.
Yes, because there is a story about Balapitiya people being brought in.
Yes, that is what he said, the people of that area.
Mm.
But not so much as that. You see, if as an EGA government officer, you are kind to the people, take so many DROs have come into party, banned them to the DRO. So many DROs can say, see, pass the DMA up, if Kurula is a DRO.
Pardon?
Kurula.
Kurula.
Kurula, minister of the DRO. In fact, at a meeting in Ganembinderava, people said we voted for Mr. Kurula because it's only the DRO who did not take price.
Well, that is speaks much for the people, doesn't
yes.
it? But then, sometimes you become cynical when, say, for instance, in Kudnagala, they returned Munakulame after he was found guilty of taking price.
That does happen. Marika, well, Marika wasn't found guilty, but Karyapa? Various influences drive them to act in a certain
way. Very difficult to assess how they...
Yes, how, what considerations move them to what,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other.
Do you think now this left, right...
Well, I remember in Jaffna, that was in the Dharamo days or even earlier. There was a gentleman called Sabana, I think, and he said, you, he's like a child, he's such a nice man. That's what they voted for. He may be ineffective and useless member of parliament.
Do you think that the left-right divisions, if you count, say, Mrs. Bandar Naik's present party as small as left, has cut across caste?
You see, it also comes into play given certain circumstances. By raising the caste voice, you cannot take last Bandaram election in the general election. Matthew was Brahmapuram. Gurasekar was not Brahmapuram. Now, Matthew, there's a block vote of 8,000 of his caste in Bandaram. But Matthew was different. Gurasekar got the vote. There the voting is one caste. Is there another constituent caste line? Not everybody, but it's sufficient to turn the balance.
Actually, elections here are quite intriguing.
Each constituency has a different method of approach. Sometimes, I see the interesting newspaper that those people are nominated. Yodanga Slanza is elected with the preponderant farm vote. Now, I think Sri Lanka is going to vote in Ramita Mahampura, against Sri Lanka Mahampura. There is a man with his name who appears to be non-Mahampura coming as independent. But it's interesting to see whether the independent can win that seat. His Mahampura vote gets split.
Just one sort of final subject, what are your views on the question of capital punishment?
Must be there. It comes from ancient days, people like life so much.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that some people think it's cooler to kill a man because he killed another. But I think taking a balance, the outed feelings of the victims, people, or the country. Really, capital punishment is more a deterrent than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know very often that when I was defending for a short time, man said, only save my life. I'm prepared to go into jail for life, but to save you from gallows.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a deterrent.
What about the possibility that an innocent chap gets convicted?
Yeah, you can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you can't prevent it. An innocent man may get hanged once in a while. Now, this quite recent day, I saw a case where a man had been passed in England after 24 years.
Right, Timothy Evans.
Mm-hmm. So those rare cases may occur. And often, an innocent man said, I killed. There was a case in England. While the man was being tried, another fellow in the jail said, I am the fellow who killed that chap. You get those exceptions, but I think it's a rule that penalty is very important.
Thank you.